I'm Duarte Geraldino, and you're listening to The Takeaway. With so much of our attention on this year's presidential race and the coronavirus, some lower-profile stories may have fallen off your radar. An estimated 2,300 prosecutors and sheriffs will be elected across the U.S. in 2020. That's according to the criminal justice news site The Appeal. That is, of course, assuming COVID-19 doesn't cancel those elections. In the case of sheriffs, most will run unopposed, and removing a sheriff from office between elections is rare. To learn more, I spoke with Jessica Pishko.
I am a research fellow in sheriff accountability at the University of South Carolina Law School.
Jessica says local sheriff elections are often overlooked despite how much power the position actually holds. She says you should be paying attention to these races, especially during a major public health crisis like the one we're living in right now.
In most places, the county jail is run by the sheriff, which means that the sheriff decides how and what kind of medical care is provided, how people are housed, what do we do with people who might be sick or elderly or pregnant.
But sheriffs don't just oversee the conditions of our jails. Turns out, they have a wide range of responsibilities.
In most places, the sheriffs are both in charge of policing unincorporated areas or towns and cities that cannot afford their own police department. So in many areas, there may be places that pay the sheriff's office for protection. And in addition, sheriffs often do a lot of policing outside of city limits or in large places like schools, universities, or parks. In addition, sheriffs run the local jail, which is where people are generally kept awaiting trial or they are serving short sentences. So frequently, these will be people being held for things such as driving while intoxicated, petty theft. So these are generally low-level offenses with sentences less than a year. The third important thing that sheriffs do is that they frequently can decide what the role of their department is when it comes to immigration enforcement. So along with running the local jails, sheriffs can also use that jail space to rent beds to places like ICE, the Federal Marshal Service, sometimes the state, and sometimes other counties. This makes the jail also a sort of money-making opportunity for a sheriff where they can use what might be perceived as extra space to make money, which enables them to have more money for their departments.
Well, they exercise an extraordinary amount of power, but how does someone actually become sheriff?
Sheriffs are elected, which means that they're generally elected every 4 years, so quite a lot like prosecutors. In most places, there actually aren't a lot of requirements to be sheriff. And those places that do have requirements are usually requirements that they have some sort of law enforcement experience. So we frequently see ex-military, ex-law enforcement, and deputies becoming sheriff. Now, sheriffs will say they're accountable through elections, which is true, and why we should pay attention to elections. But we also know that in many places, sheriffs serve very, very long terms. They may be elected not just two or three times, but like four times. They may serve terms of 40 years in some places.
Wow. So once someone becomes sheriff, this whole idea of a 40-year term, why is it so difficult to remove him or her from office?
Because the main lever of accountability is elections, this presents a lot of problems if you have someone you want to remove between elections. We know that elections aren't perfect, right? So voters may not have the information they need. And we also know that just plainly, people cannot get access to the ballot. They're either, you know, it's not accessible in their neighborhood, they're barred from voting, etc. In between elections, the great problem with sheriffs is that there's no real method of impeachment. I sometimes comment that President Trump is fond of sheriffs because, like him, they cannot be impeached. The sheriffs who are already acting in a particular way now feel more emboldened. So there is a group of extremely conservative sheriffs called the Constitutional Sheriffs or the Constitutional Sheriff Movement. Unsurprisingly, Joe Arpaio was a member of this movement, as was David Clark, as are several dozen across the country. I will point out that these sheriffs are across the country, not just in the South. And they adhere to a code, which is essentially that they are the supreme lawmakers of the land and that they can set sort of laws and policies for their county. Now, what's interesting about that is they're not entirely wrong, but they sort of take it to a new level. So one of the things they're particularly concerned about is restrictions on the Second Amendment. They are very, in general, anti-immigration. So Trump has found them as a great, you know, source of support in terms of his draconian immigration policies. And even the new head of the Bureau of Land Management has actually also aligned himself with these sheriffs who oppose kind of federal control of land. It's kind of this grassroots movement that I think is helping to prop up, you know, President Trump's sort of strain of populism that wants to criminalize people, punish people who, you know, maybe are houseless or are immigrants. So I feel like it's sort of becoming this like very, you know, unholy union of groups.
Jessica, we've covered on The Takeaway the growing progressive prosecutor movement in the U.S. Are we seeing anything similar with sheriffs?
Many immigration groups have been fighting for the rights of their people and asking sheriffs to stop supporting immigration laws. In North Carolina, a group of sheriffs were elected. They are all sheriffs of color. They were all elected under a more progressive platform, which included non-cooperation with ICE and creating better policies within their jails. So I think it's something that people are becoming more aware of.
Aside from not reelecting sheriffs, how else can we really hold our sheriffs accountable?
Well, I think the first thing most people could do is figure out who their local sheriff is. You know, it's in some ways a good time to figure out who your sheriff is and then ask your sheriff's office, what are their policies for certain things? What are their policies for people who may have substance use disorder? You know, what are they doing to protect people against COVID-19? How do they prioritize arrests? You know, people in their community are the ones who can exert the most pressure on their sheriff and at a minimum demand that some transparency.
So are there any specific sheriff races that we should be watching this year?
I think there are a few races that people should be watching this year. One is the resurgence of Joe Arpaio in Maricopa County, Arizona. His funding is mostly coming from outside the state. Another race people should be watching is Tarrant County, Texas. This is Fort Worth, Texas. The sheriff there has also been an avid supporter of Trump and is very anti-immigrant. The community has changed such that he is really no longer serving the people there.
Jessica Pisco is a researcher of sheriff accountability with the Rule of Law Collaborative at the University of South Carolina. Jessica, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.